Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day or day of the week it may be that you're tuning in for this broadcast of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. I am Bishop Randy Dean, and you are who you are, and I'm thrilled. I'm honored that you came along here by choice, maybe by happenstance, and you have you've given me the opportunity of a half an hour of your life. I will promise you to give you enough to think about, enough to mull over, maybe mutter at me back, you know, talk back to your device, your radio, your computer, whatever means by which you're listening to me. I appreciate the opportunity to give you something to think about and chew on. I promise today to give you something of a sense of depth. You know, I'm reluctant to say I'm going to go deep today because I really want to avoid those kind of cliches. I just want to be as real as I know how about what's in my heart and what's cooking in me when it comes to the subject of love. If you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it a thousand times. I'm alive to love. I have no interest in living for other values. Other values devolve into potential BS. They can devolve into potential manipulation. Love alone is the credible value of life that keeps us all moving and growing, giving anything else of value to other people. If I'm not given love, then I'm potentially wasting my time, and worse, I'm wasting your time. So I'm alive to love. Love to me is a journey. It's not a destination you arrive at one day and say, oh, now I know how to love. No, nobody knows that. Nobody's done that except Jesus Christ. And, you know, of course, we all know what his fate was. They crucified him. Why did they crucify him? Well, incorporated religion just could not stand the heavy dose of reality. They just could not stand that heavy dose of this is what God looks like. God is a magnificent, towering, gigantic, beautiful, overwhelming, existential, transcendent universe of love. And once you find out that God is that kind of love, then there's no putzing around, no messing around, no fooling around with lesser values of life. Life is about love, and love is a journey. It can never be regarded as some arrival point. At the age of 67, and next month I'll be 68, I am convinced that I will spend all of my life on earth and all of my life beyond earth exploring the magnificence, the towering majesty of what love really is. So buckle up today, folks. I used to say a lot, buckle up, buttercup. I'm going to take you on a ride today that I hope will give you plenty to consider, and maybe, and in fact, hopefully, it'll give you something to disagree with. You see, I don't think disagreement is necessarily the epitome of a broken relationship. I think disagreement is when two powerful people dwell in the same kind of space and have to find a way to see life beyond their own sphere. See, when I disagree with somebody, I realize I may not understand life the way they understand it, and perhaps their understanding of life is more in-depth than mine. And my shallow understanding of life may be keeping me from having a profound sense of understanding that something they've gained through the pains and the struggles of life that I've never been through. So, having said that, I started by saying earlier that I want to go as deep as I know how with you today and just challenge you. I really am. I'm going to push you as hard as I can, but all with the simple notion that love alone is credible in this life. So let's talk about the profound sense that when we love, we are on a trajectory of impacting other lives. We will always, when we love, we're going to be impacting other lives. Now, I know there are some people who think, oh, good, I just want to have the highest amount of impact as I can possibly have on everybody else's life. I want you to think about that for a moment, you know, because impact can be painful. Impact can be bruising. Impact can be a stunning moment for others. So if you want to have an impact on people's life, and I do, I believe that you're going to find that people are going to push back. And it's not always because they're bad people. It's because they don't understand something. They don't have a grasp of something that maybe you do. And perhaps, again, take it back to yourself. Perhaps your grasp isn't the depth of grasp on something they have. And so recognizing that, I want to go to an impactful moment with you today so that I can challenge you to be impactful with yourself and with others. I want you to consider the idea, first of all, that love is the challenge of life that will continually push you toward pain. Now listen to that carefully. It doesn't mean that love is painful. It means that love will involve certain degrees of pain. Pain is one of the, I don't want to call it negative even, but it's just one of the realities of loving. When you found that that job that you said, I love, oh, I want to do that job. That's the job I feel called to. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to be involved in that job. That's my job of my dreams. I'm excited for you. I really am. And I think everybody ought to have the job of their dreams. But sometimes the job of your dream for today is street sweeping. Maybe today's job of your dreams ought to be garbage collecting. But then again, maybe it's the job you've spent years in school or training for. Whatever the case may be, your love for that job is only theoretically love until you are involved in the deep minutiae of that job. And now, I could take the word job out of there and put relationship. You can say, oh, I love this person. I love this child. I love this spouse. I love this friend. I love this neighbor of mine. I wish more folks would. I really do. That's why I'm here, alive to love, all lesser values or potential BS. But I promise you, the love for your job, the love for others will involve certain levels of pain. A few weeks ago, I told you that the purpose of life is not to avoid pain and to seek pleasure. The purpose of life is to love come what may. So we're not in this life to dodge pain. And in fact, if we're in this life to love, we will find pain. Or better put, pain will find you. Pain isn't always a disease. Pain isn't always brokenness. Sometimes pain is using a muscle you haven't used before. You know, you've heard the phrase, right? I'm feeling muscles I didn't even know I had after you did a chore or a job or you were out doing some exercise or running or walking, whatever the case may be. You say, well, I think I found some muscles I didn't know I had, because that muscle is now suddenly put to a stressor. When you build muscle, when you build muscle mass, when you build endurance, it always involves some amount of pain. Pain is the natural result of using those muscle cells, those ligaments, the connecting points of your body are put to stress so that you can grow stronger. You know, right? The old saying is, what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And when somebody tells you that, you say, well, you know, right now I just want to kill you and make you feel what I'm feeling. You know, that those are realities. But when the issue of pain comes our way, I want to challenge you to take pain on as a homework assignment of love. What is this pain teaching me about how to be? Maybe the pain is, let's talk about physical pain. Maybe the sickness that you're suffering. You know, we're in this pandemic of COVID right now for over a year. About a week ago, United States of America experienced its first death from COVID. And now 400,000 people later, we're seeing the raw, painful reality of this disease. So if disease has struck you, first of all, I don't think disease should be treated as if it's the normal phase of human existence. Disease is an intruder that needs to be dealt with positively, an intruder that needs to be dealt with on several levels. First of all, obviously, medically. It ought to be dealt with by scientific research. Pain should be dealt with as a, again, as an intruder. It broke in the night, and now you got to call 911 and get some help. Pain is an intruder, and yet it is one of the normative motions of life. Nobody's lived this life without pain. We've all endured some level of pain. All religions, all philosophies deal with the issue of human pain. Why? Because human pain is one of those normal factors in the world. So if you're suffering pain, first of all, let me just tell you, if you're suffering physical pain, hang in there. There are people out there around you, and I'm just one of them, who want to say, I love you. You're a champion. You're going to find your way through this. I don't know when, I don't know how, and I don't know who's going to give you the keys to the new understanding of what to do from here, but I know this. Pain isn't normal. Pain is that challenge for you to discover a new way of love. And I'm going to give you my love as a support. I'm going to give you my love as a vitamin. I'm going to give you my love as some nutrition so that you have one more day to live, to go toward love. When we discuss pain, we have to unpack some kind of empathy for those who are in pain. To everything, there's a season, right? There's light and dark. There's a season to sow, a season to reap, a season to laugh, and a season to cry. When we cry, we are in some form of pain. It may be existential, it may be health, but pain creates tears. Tears create a morphine for healing, a morphine to deaden some of that pain's effect on your life. Don't dodge pain. Don't treat pain as if you're the only one facing it. There will always be others around you in pain who are in need of your lessons in the middle of your pain. Hear that carefully. I'm not suggesting for one minute that God threw you into the woodshed of pain just to teach you a lesson. That's not my point at all. In fact, I find that kind of theology to be disturbing. I believe God is the creator of health. I believe God is the creator of life. I believe God is the creator of healing. And the reason he's the creator of healing, health, and life is that God recognizes the reality of human pain. And God seeks to bring a balm, a medicine, a prescription, a restoration to those who fight pain. I realize, though, that in our painful moments, we have an opportunity. We have a moment to be gathered, to, you know, gather our thoughts, our emotions, our struggles, yes, and even our anger, and know that pain is here for this season of my life so that I can dig deeper and discover a love that I've never had before. Because pain, if I were to talk to pain as if it were a person, I'd say, listen to me, pain, you're an intruder. You have invaded my space. You have spent a lot of effort to get in on my life. And I got news for you, pain. I'm not going to treat you as normal. I'm going to treat you as the challenge, like a runner will treat a distance run as a challenge to overcome the need for conditioning, to grow out of being afraid of walking a half a mile or running a mile. Now I'm going to run a half a mile, I'm going to run 2 miles, I'm going to run 3 miles. The challenge becomes, pain, you listen to me. You're my challenge, and I'm going to overcome you. And ultimately, the greatest overcoming I will find will be love. You create pain. Pain, if I personify pain, if you came to create pain, I'm going to tell you, I will create love in the middle of my pain. It won't be easy, and I'm not going to treat it like it's a lightweight issue, and I'm not going to deny the existence of my pain. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't hurt, but I am going to rise above it. I am going to see to it that my life transcends just living in the pit of pain. So remember that, folks. Pain on any level. So I've been talking about physical pain. Prolonged physical pain can have such a deliberately negative effect. if we aren't finding support to fight back productively. And I think that's a good way to say it. If we're not finding some deliberate resources to fight back productively. My mother was a Native American lady. You know, I'm going to say that right. My mother is a Native American lady. She's in the cloud of witnesses in heaven. She is a Native American lady. And I watched her for most of my life growing up. I remember her lung issues, not always understanding it, not always seeing it for what it was until when she was in her early 70s and tuberculosis took her life. But you know what? Tuberculosis didn't take her life in one day or one week or one year or one decade, but she spent decades wrestling with that intruder in her life. And I saw her rise and I saw her fall. I saw her in deep, deep depression, but I also saw her, especially later in her life, as she learned to rise above it. I remember the final physician in her life, the doctor that was attending to her. He was a fellow from India, and he was just a fine gentleman. And he said to me, he said, "You know, your mother has taught me a lot about how to fight. How to fight. She has been such a fighter to come against this this monster of tuberculosis, and she has fought well." So I'm telling you, physical pain, especially if it's perpetual, is debilitating and wearing on the soul. Hear my voice right now telling you I love you. And I honor the rigorous struggle you've had in physical pain. And I want you to just draw from my voice in this moment, knowing that you need somebody to support you. And you just came on this No BS Bishop Alive to Love broadcast, not by chance, but by purpose. The purposes of the universe, the purposes of God, the purposes of life itself have said, stop here, listen to this guy. He's not going to BS you. Pain is terrible, but love is greater than pain. And even love in itself will take you into painful things. Not because love is has a permanent condition of pain, but love has a permanent aim to destroy the negative effects of pain and make us better, bigger people. So pain, listen to me again, pain, love has arrived. But you know, let's talk about the pain of mental struggles, emotional struggles. Let's talk about the pain maybe of that new job I mentioned earlier. You know, that is painful to learn a new job. You know, I've taken on a part-time job here later in my life, and I've had to learn to say with some degree of courage and grit, this old dog will learn new tricks. You know, the whole thing about an old dog learning a new trick is that an old dog has, an old dog's kind of gotten used to sleeping by the fireplace. An old dog has kind of gotten used to just doing the same old route, the same old way. Well, this old dog, I'm talking about me right now, has had to get up away from the fireplace and go out in the cold some days and say, all right, what's the new trick I'm going to learn today? How am I going to get better in life rather than bitter? Better, not bitter. Because I'm going to love what the cards that have been dealt with, that I've been dealt in this poker game. I'm going to win with a pair of twos. I'm not going to wait for a full house of all aces. I'm going to play the cards that I've got in my hand. And this old dog will learn new tricks. But guess what? Pain is in the middle of that. But I also see again, pain is not a permanent place of life. Pain is an intruder that has said, nah, you can't grow. To which I say, by love, oh, yes, I will. Watch me grow. It won't be easy, and I know I'll cry some along the way. But I'm not going to cry for losing. I'm going to cry for trying. You hear that, folks? And I know I'm probably talking to somebody somewhere out there who's shed a few tears in your pain, and I'm here to tell you, turn your tears from the crying for losing toward crying for trying and saying, I'm going to get up in the morning, wipe my tears, and I'm going to try again. I'm going to train my life forward through the pain. So let me go to the second part of this today, and this is all I have time for today. But pain is one of those challenges of a life of love, and so is grief. grief. I've talked about this a few times here before, but I want to spend the last 7 minutes or so with you talking about grief. Grief is the evidence that the object of my love has been removed. So if you put it in the most natural sense of how grief works, then it's that brother that lost a sister, that sister who lost a sister, that spouse who lost a spouse, that one person who lost somebody so significant to you, a child who loses a parent, whoever that person, that object of your love is, then grief comes because the object, the physical object, hear that carefully, the physical object of my love is no longer there for me to touch. They're no longer there for me to hold. They're no longer there for me to even have a good fight with. You know, they're gone. And suddenly the absence creates this minutia, this grinding of grief, this grinding of emotions that it's really hard to figure out what to do with them all. You know, this can happen in the loss of a job. In the middle of the pandemic, there's so much discussion right now about people who've lost their employment. They've lost their source of income, and it creates grief. We should acknowledge that. We shouldn't deny that. We shouldn't act like people should just, you know, grow up and get over it. No, 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 no. This isn't about people having to just, pretend like it doesn't hurt anymore. It's about teaching people how to grieve well. I want you to hear that, those two words right. Grieve well. Recognizing that grief is the evidence of the loss of an object of your love. Now, what should I do? Well, you should find some new way of aiming your love. You can't do it fast, you know, especially if it's a long-term relationship with a person or with a job or a neighborhood or whatever it is that has been lost or maybe taken from you. Find your footing as soon as you know how in a healthy way, and grieve well by loving well. So find some new object for your love. One of the dearest friends in my life, Ken Myers, he's a bishop down in Texas. I think 3, maybe 4 years ago, perhaps longer, he lost the love of his life, his wife. It was a tragic and intrusive death. It was just, it was heartbreaking to watch. But I watched Ken, and I'm still watching Ken, grieving well by finding new objects for his love, by taking his love to a targeted place. For instance, I think he finally discussed with someone, and perhaps with just with himself, he found that a new love in his life is to become a bit of a chef. Just not professionally, but just cooking good food, and if for nobody else, but just for himself. That's one thing he's done. He is a prolific writer. I've written one book, but I think Ken wakes up in the morning and writes a book, and then publishes it, and gets up tomorrow morning and writes another book. He just blows my mind. But he wrote a book about the loss of his wife Shirley, and in that book he discusses the whole process he walked through, not just in from her death forward, but from her death backward, recognizing that their life was full of mountains to climb, full of challenges to overcome. It was not an easy life. No life as a pastor is. Anybody out there listening to me now who thinks some pastor is out there just living some cushy life, I want to just say, stop it. Any pastor worth their calling at all has lived a difficult and challenging life, and Ken and Shirley did. But Ken took on the challenge of living his life forward by looking at it in a backward sense from a profoundly, psychologically, emotionally healthy way, so that he could stand on in a place today where his grief was becoming an exercise for his love. He recognized his love had lost the physical object, but he also knew that love would forever need another expression in his grieving, so that in grieving well, he found how to love well. I'm telling you right now, those of you who are tuned in today, you have come to the right place at the right time that you might grieve well by loving well. you're not going to just snap your fingers, wake up tomorrow morning and feel 100% better. You know, I've lost a few people in my life who were very important to me, even some who were negatively important to me. You know, I don't have time to discuss all of that, but there are people who have been very significant in time and growth in my life that I've lost. And I'm here to tell you right now, you never, ever should treat that like, oh, well, I'll just get over it. No. Grieve as long as you need, but make love the object and the fruit of your grieving. So that if love is aimed at a person that you lose, make sure you find small baby steps every day toward a love for some new objects to put your hands to, your heart to, your thoughts to, your meditation to. And eventually, maybe in a year, maybe in 2 years, maybe in 5 years, maybe in 10 years, you'll find that through baby steps, you walked forward through your grief by aiming your love toward those better angels in front of you. I hope that makes sense. I've come to the last few minutes of today's broadcast. I've taken you down a pretty intense path, I know, talking about pain and grief. But I do want you to understand that I believe that love is the answer in the middle of all of our pain and grief. Love is not a band-aid, but love is the restoration of our life. Love is a restorative beauty. Love brings health where health has been stolen. So I want you to do one thing again with me. I want you to breathe well. Breathing is the most essential human activity. We need to breathe every day, and we need to breathe with a full, healthy intention. In fact, I would even dare to say, learn how to love your breathing. Learn how to love breathing. So let's love our breathing. And I want you to learn how to take a deep breath, hold it to the bottom of your lungs, silence the arguments of your mind for just a few seconds, and then exhale. All right, let's breathe. Breathe deep in and out. One more time. A nice deep breath all the way down to the foundations of your lungs. Here we go. In and out. Now do that off and on throughout the day. Yeah, I just felt a little dizzy right there because the dizziness is an indication I haven't been breathing deeply enough. So I that's a reminder to me. All right, Randy, time to breathe a little more rhythmically and a little more intentionally. I want you to do that all day long. Breathe slowly and intentionally. And the second thing I close with every time we come to No BS Bishop, I don't want to BS you at all. I just want you to know that it's important to look somebody in the eye. Get full, adult, mature eye contact with somebody. Somebody that needs to hear the three charmed, beautiful, mystical, magical words of the human existence. Those words are, I love you. Maybe I love you romantically. Maybe I love you as a friend. Maybe I love you as a neighbor. Maybe I love you as my employer. Maybe I love you as a customer. Maybe I love you from the customer side to the serving side. But whatever the case is, just want you to know somebody standing here in front of you who says, I love you. I want you to imagine I'm looking you in the eye right now and I'm saying to you, I love you. You came to the No BS Bishop for such a time as this, to deal with your pain and your grief in a loving way, to be loved through it and to learn love by it, that you would grow in a way you never dreamed you would grow and become the person you've always wanted to be. Now get out there today and do something beautiful, folks, because ugly, oh, baby. Baby, ugly has been done to death. Let's be people of beauty. And the most beautiful thing I can think of is go out there and love well. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop, alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.